This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report, Women Fighting Back in Misogynist Cultures. Normally about this time of the year, we'd be locking down the location for the annual Organizers Forum International Dialogue. When the Board of Labor, Neighbor Research and Training Center met recently for the second straight time, we bowed to the inevitable and recorded unanimous votes to cancel the dialogue for another year. Postponing doesn't mean forgetting, since we have visited so many countries that are caught in the throes of the pandemic, like India, South Africa, and many countries in South America. It also doesn't mean that our eyes don't catch headlines of other countries dealing with separate struggles that they have shared with us over the years, particularly those of women facing organized and state-sponsored misogyny and harassment. We had often been awed in meetings with individual women organizers and their organizations in Turkey, Morocco, Egypt, and Tunisia as they told us of their situations and work in this regard. So it should come as no surprise that I read every word with both horror and hope of a piece recently in the New York Review of Books called Me Too in Egypt and Morocco. The Organizers Forum had hosted a delegation of 25 people to Cairo in the aftermath of the Arab Spring there more than a decade ago. More recently, we were in Morocco and were awed there by a young woman whose advocacy and courage on these issues had led to her arrest and imprisonment and constant harassment because she had also organized the arrival of a ship from Europe that had anchored outside of Casablanca to advise and offer women assistance for their reproductive health. Ursula Lindsay's article began with the story of Nadine Ashraf, a young 20s woman who in 2020 stumbled on a 2018 Facebook post that was removed, warning other young women about a student named Ahmed Bassam Zaki, with deep family connections, who was taking advantage of the repressive sexual and family culture and blackmailing and harassing women sexually. Ashraf created an Instagram account called Assault Police to try and get the police on the job to stop this. After the posting shocked her by going viral, she collected a tragic 150 testimonies from women who had been victimized by rape and other assaults by this young man since he was a teenager. Ashraf's spark burned the establishment in Egypt sufficiently that the young man was arrested and, in a rarity, prosecuted, triggering a version of Egypt's much-needed hashtag MeToo moment. Let no good deed go unpunished. Ashraf has received death threats and worse for her advocacy. Also, don't make the mistake of believing that the Egyptian government and police really learned their lesson, since other issues continue to surface proving the opposite. Nor is this horror restricted to Egypt. Gang rapes in Morocco led to a social media campaign called Mashakatash, or I Will Not Be Silent, where change has still not come from women. As Lindsay reports, sex outside of marriage is still a crime according to Moroccan law. Women rarely report rape because if they can't prove their case, they risk being prosecuted themselves. Shamefully, although this is not the law in the United States, it reads eerily like Betsy DeVos's proposal for university investigations of alleged rape that would put more of the onus on women victims. There's no happy ending in sight yet in Morocco. Lenz reports that police and government have weaponized allegations of abuse and rape into something similar to a sexual assassination in order to arrest journalists and opponents of the king and his cronies. In a worse irony, Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, and even Turkey until recently were all Islamic countries with a history of secularism that had at one point offered women the prospects of more cultural and political freedoms. In Morocco, we often listen to young women relaying the stories of their mothers and grandmothers in more liberal times, while they felt increasingly pressured in dress and head coverings. We can hope 1,000 Ashrafs will stand up, but we also need to find a way to support them in their lonely fights for women's rights against staggering odds. This is Wade Brathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.